Now, while I gave you the first message on procrastination, I was wanting a sequel to the first one, and I felt best to speak about a character called Pilate, and I hope you like it. However, I want to give my apologies to those from the Kolaba church, because they've already heard it once. And so this may be a repetition for you. Perhaps my comfort may be in the verse which Peter writes in his epistles. He said, I have no problem reminding you. So please look at it as it is a reminder, and I hope it helps you. You know, hotel advertised that there is a swimming pool, and so the rooms where the people lived were upstairs, and they had to come down, walk through a hall and go to the swimming pool. In order to create a good ambience for the swimming pool, they had got a painter, and on the front wall, which was completely a plain wall, they painted a swimming pool, beautiful swimming pool with little glistening water, and they also showed a diving board. And there were people who wanted to go to the swimming pool. They came down from the top. Now the swimming pool was on the side, after you get out of the door, on the side. But when they came down, they saw in the front the swimming pool, and one of the guys saw it. He felt it was so real that he began his full jog as he wanted to go over the diving board and jump into the swimming pool. So obviously he got hit with the wall, and he collapsed on the floor, and he saw a few stars. It was a 5-star hotel. And then as he collapsed, and after a few seconds he kind of revived, and he kind of nursed his wounds, then he touched the wall, and he was amazed to see what a beautiful painting. At least he admired the painting. And then he slowly got up and he looked, and there he saw the real swimming pool. And he was saying, my, whoever the painter is, he has done a very good job. And while he was thinking about it, he saw, to his dismay, another man coming down with his full swimming suit, and he saw this, and he was going at full speed. And so this guy, who was a little bit far away, said to him, no, stop, no. But this guy, you know, wanted to just first jump and then ask what is the problem. So then he hit the wall, and he saw a few stars, and he says, what was it that you were telling me? He says, now nothing I want to tell you. So listen to this. Normal people make mistakes, but foolish people don't learn from the mistakes, and wise people learn from other people's mistakes. You agree with me? So now you decide who is normal, who is wise, and who is foolish. Foolish is normal person who makes mistake. Foolish person who knows the mistake and still does it, doesn't listen to counsel. And a wise man is someone who learns from other people's mistake. Correct? Why repeat the mistake if you can learn from other people's mistake? Now it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, speaks about the Old Testament. It says these things happened to them to serve as example that we can learn from it. So when we are looking at some Bible stories or Bible characters, let's learn from them so we don't have to repeat the mistake. That will be our wisdom. I pray that in the midst of my ability to share or my inability to share, we will be able to, you know, glisten some valuable truths which will help us to ensure that we don't make the mistakes some people have made. In this case, it is Mr. Pontius Pilate. There is a material compiled by historians called Josephus and Philo during the time of the first century, and so we get our main story from the Bible, and bits and pieces are added to the main story from the historian that existed in the first century. Their names were Josephus and Philo or Philo. The name is Pontius Pilate. He was a fifth procurator, that was his official title, of Judea, Samaria, and Idumea. Judea, Samaria, and Idumea. The period he was ruling was AD 26 to 36. His official residence was in the Palace of Caesarea. His military force was up to 5,000 soldiers. His wife's name was Claudia Procula. And I will add a little bit about her at the end of my story. Claudia Procula. His chief duty was to ensure collection of taxes for the imperial treasury, and that was his main work, and also the administration of the province. His judicial authority was restricted to the non-Romans. And Rome, as it acquired a lot of territory, had a policy, and there was a tolerance of local self-government, and certain customs and religious practices of conquered people were not upset. Some of you may know that British rule also had the same policy. They did not challenge the basic beliefs and customs of the local people here, barring two or three which were really serious, like sati was abolished, and the practice of offering girls to goddess Yellamma as prostitutes was also abolished. Two rules were passed by the British government, but generally they did not oppose any of the customs and traditions in life. Similarly, the Romans did not generally oppose anything, and they allowed them to practice their local religion, because they know if you touch their religion you can get a huge mutiny which will be difficult to handle. The motivation for religious bias is a very high motivation. Now the word Pilate comes from a root word, Pilatius, P-I-L-A-T-E-U-S, P-I-L-A-T-E-U-S, which means javelin or spear or spike. Javelin, spear or spike. Probably implying his military career. Somehow in his name was also his military career. You know, some children were asked to draw diagrams of pictures of the scene of the birth of Jesus, and one child drew an aeroplane and drew various characters. So the teacher said, trying to encourage the child, he says, "Who is this?" He said, "This is Joseph." "And who is this?" "This is Mary." "And who is this?" "This is baby Jesus." "And who is this?" "This is Pilate." But just to ensure he's awake. Alright, Pilate's rule. There are remarkable events that took place in the territory, in his territory during his regime. To pacify the Jewish fanatical devotion to their religion, the Romans never brought their religious emblems or idols into Israel, and therefore they did not upset it. Now there were religious shields. If you remember, even the times of King David, when the temple was built, there were shields which were made of gold and put into the tabernacle. And then later on he took that shield during the time of war, and there were even the sword of Goliath, he took it from there. So there were certain shields which had religious emblems, and therefore Rome had shields with some religious emblems, and he knew that the local people did not like these religious emblems, but he wanted those shields to come to Jerusalem. So one day he brought those Roman images by night through his soldiers, and when next day the people got up, they saw these Roman shields put up all over the place and they resented that. So a big delegation went from Jerusalem to the city of Caesarea, where he was there, and they had a big morcha, and they stood outside his palace and began to shout and yell at outside his palace. And for 5 days they stood there, and Pilate did not open the gates of his palace. But because the pressure was very high, finally he opened the gates. The people came into the courtyard, and at that point of time Pilate threatened them, as everyone was surrounded by the soldiers of his with drawn swords, and he says, "If you don't give up, we'll chop you off." The amazing thing was, nobody panicked. All went on the floor and says, "If you want, you can chop us up, but we are not going to go off from here until you remove the shield." It's like a do or die call. Now Pilate could have ordered the chopping of the head, but he would have a problem explaining to Caesar, and for no reason, for actually breaking a practice which was done by the Roman authorities. So he was awed by it, and he relented, and he brought the Roman shields back again. So that was the first incident which was went against him. Second recorded incidents indicates that Pilate wanted to build a water pipe to supply water into Jerusalem, but mainly for his soldiers and the garrison area, the soldiers' quarters. And actually he should have used the tax money which he collects from the people. Instead, he used the temple treasury money and built the pipes. And so again there was mutiny, and again there was a big problem. But this time, Pilate sent his soldiers in disguise, and at a certain signal, they removed their swords and they killed many Galileans. And some of the Galileans were killed in the temple area. And the temple area, there was also sacrifice going on. So the blood of the people who were slain also fell onto the sacrifice. Perhaps that is what Jesus refers to. He says, it is Pilate who mixed or mingled the blood of the Galileans with the sacrifices on that day. That was the incident that took place. Now this irked the people, and during the time of killing, some people were related to Herod and their relatives got killed. So Herod and Pilate began to have enmity from that day onwards. And we know in history that there was an enmity between the two of them. Now another occasion, Pilate again tried to bring gilt shields in the palace of Herod at Jerusalem, and on each of the shields were described the name of the donor and the name of the person to whom it was dedicated. But this again aroused the fury of the Jews, including the four sons of Herod, and they all besought him to remove the objects of offense, and Pilate refused. And so they wrote to Emperor Tiberius, who was the Caesar then, and he commanded Pilate to remove those gilt shields. And so that was a third setback, if you like, for Pilate. And Pilate's rule was quite tough rule, and there was bribery, there was corruption. Some people were executed without a proper trial, and the accusations against him were piling up, and he began to get periodic threats that the people in Israel, in Jerusalem in particular, would one day go to Tiberius and complain against him concerning his atrocities. And that was the thing that they threatened. Now, it is on this background that we come to the trial of Jesus. Okay? And the trial of Jesus, I want us to see a few things that happened. Pilate and the Sanhedrin's trial of Jesus. Now, there are different categories of people that feature in this trial. You have Pilate as the judicial authority, the legal authority. You have the priest and her Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, who are the religious authorities at that point of time. The people who are the ordinary people but who are pressurized by the religious authorities. And of course you have Jesus, who acts by principles. So we'll look into these factors. How does Pilate act? How does the Sanhedrin act? How do the people act? And how did Jesus act during this time? Now, first of all, the Sanhedrin was like a supreme religious court. It not a judicial court, it was a religious court. And they could not execute a person without the permission of the governor. But they carried out a trial of Jesus, and the trial was carried out in the middle of the night. Now, nowhere you have a trial being carried out in the middle of the night. All court cases are held during the daytime. So it itself tells you that there is some illegality about this whole court case. Not only that, they were trying to find two witnesses who will say the same thing against Jesus, but they never found two witnesses saying anything against Jesus. And so they were not able to prosecute him because they were lacking the evidence of the witness. Now the chief magistrate who sat there, he did something we should have not done, because to prosecute him there are prosecutors, and based on the prosecutor's prosecution and the charges and the proving of the charges, the magistrate will pass his verdict. But the magistrate was getting frustrated because he was not able to penalize Jesus, not able to bring any conviction on him. So the magistrate, the chief Sanhedrin, the chief high priest, he asked, he says, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. So he starts prosecuting. Magistrate doesn't prosecute, but now he starts prosecuting. And Jesus, because he was charged under oath, he said, yes, I am the Christ, the Son of God. And so then the high priest, the judge, tore his robe and says, what more witnesses you want? You are all witnesses here. This is what he has done. Blasphemy, he said. And then he said, we don't need, and he's worthy of this. So Jesus was guilty, in their opinion, according to the law, on religious ground. Then they did the second thing. In the middle of the night, they took Jesus to Pilate's court. Again, no legal courts run in the middle of the night, but they took him. Again, something illegal is happening. And so they took Jesus there. And now they had to put some charges of him. And they said to Pilate, he says he's the Son of God. He said, get rid of your nonsensical, heretical, religious thing. Don't trouble me with that. Get lost. he will not take action unless there are legal charges pressed against him. And therefore, we find that there are legal charges pressed against him and given for us in Luke chapter 23 and verses 1 and 2. You can just write down the reference. Luke chapter 23 verses 1 and 2. It says, he was perverting the nation. They found him perverting the nation. That was the first charge. But that was a false charge. He never perverted the nation. In fact, he said, if a soldier asks you to carry a weight for 1 mile, carry the second mile. He was not perverting the nation. He never asked them to rebel, but they made a false charge against him. Secondly, they said, he is forbidding people to pay tribute to Caesar. He is forbidding people to pay tribute to Caesar. Again, it's a false charge, because he says, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. They tried to trap him, they never were able to trap him. He says, render unto Caesar that belongs to Caesar. That means pay your taxes. He never, you know, violated the payment of tribute to Caesar. Thirdly, they said, he claims to be a king, a rival king. Now that is true. He claimed to be a king. The only thing is, he did not claim to be a political king. He claimed to be a spiritual king. He says, my kingdom is from above, not from earth. Otherwise, my followers would fight. And so he clarified, he is not a king. But they put this false charge against him that he was wanting to be a king, claiming to be a rival authority to Caesar. All this implied there was political, financial, and criminal charge against Jesus, and Pilate had to attend to this whole thing. Now we are come to a place where Pilate is under force because of these three accusations. He has to find out, are these accusations true, and come to a conclusion.